Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Brandy M. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, December 23rd, 2021. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 155, second paragraph, starting with when our friend relates his experience. We're reading through that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Wenise N. for the 12 steps, Penny L.C. for the 12 Traditions. Readers of the text are Barbara W., Eileen M., and Penny L.C. Lori P. is our newcomer greeter, and Betsy H. will do announcements. The reference numbers for Wednesday, December 22nd, 2021, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 18286. That's 18,286. And for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, the reference number is 18290. That's 1,800,290. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition stage, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Wenise N. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Wenise.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Wenise N., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater living in Southern California. And these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you, Wenise. All right, I'll now ask Penny L.C. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning, Brandy. Thank you for your service. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name. to any related facility or outside enterprise. Less problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass.
Thank you, Penny. All right, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive readers only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your share be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 155, second paragraph, starting with, when our friend relates his experience. We're going to comment on that one paragraph only. I will now ask Barbara W. to begin reading. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning, everyone. This is Barbara W., recovered compulsive overeater from Seattle, Washington. When our friend related his experience, the man agreed that no amount of willpower he might muster could stop his drinking for long. A spiritual experience, he conceded, was absolutely necessary, but the price seemed high upon the basis suggested. He told how he lived in constant worry about those who might find out about his alcoholism. Someone's unmuted. He had, of course, the familiar alcoholic obsession that few knew his drinking. Why, he argued, should he lose the remainder of his business only to bring about still more suffering to his family by foolishly admitting his plight to people from whom he made his livelihood? He would do anything, he said, but that. Well, I hear this fellow is on the fence. He's just not sure he wants to do something he has avoided probably for a very long time. A spiritual experience, he conceded, was absolutely necessary. He knows, it's like something he knows. but he's not so sure about it. I mean, here this alcoholism he's supposed to have, he thinks he has, he knows he has, it's going to really possibly wreck a lot of things. It could wreck a relationship. It could wreck his job. It could wreck his friends, his friendships. Oh, my gosh. This guy is probably going, oh, my head, turn it back and forth. I don't know what to do. And here we go again with the addict having a hard time making a decision. Speaking from personal experience, making a decision. Oh, what am I to do? And often I rely on my finite self instead of infinite God. And the result is not pretty. It's messy, and it will continue to be messy for this fellow. until he really jumps over the fence and says, okay, God, I need help. I put a note in my book that said he told how he lived in constant worry, and I put in, constant worry leads to the first bite. And he's worried someone's going to find out. I mean, with me as a compulsive overeater, it's going to be pretty obvious what my problem is when I put on 30 pounds in the 2 months. And I've done it. And yet, waver, go back to infinite resources and really depend and trust on it? I don't know about that. I can trust on my substance. Oh, yeah. All those wrappers in the garbage and everything. But a spiritual experience taking me away from all that? I just don't know. And it's indecision that's tormenting this poor man. And with that, I'm going to pass.
Thank you, Barbara. All right, so Barbara just wrote from page 155, second paragraph, when our friend related his experience, and we're commenting on that one paragraph. We will now open the lines for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. Who would like to share on that paragraph?
Kathleen O.
This is Elaine from New York.
Kathleen O. Elaine. Anyone else? Great opportunity to jump in if you're new or coming back or just here with us today. Doing the deal.
Robin P.
Robin P. Anyone else? Okay. Well, let's
Connie
go
B.
with
Barbara P.
Connie B. Barbara
P.
Okay. Awesome. So I'll tell you who I have. Kathleen O. Elaine, I didn't get your last initial. Robin P. Connie B. And Barbara P. Good morning, Kathleen. Kathleen Starr went on mute.
Sorry, Brandy, I thought I did unmute. Thank you. Good morning. This is Kathleen O, recovered in Northern California. And it's so good to be on the line with everyone this morning, and especially this time of year. Bob realizes in this paragraph, we're being told that Bob realizes he's come to the point where willpower won't help. He knows willpower won't help him. And I certainly knew that because I had plenty of willpower and I went on plenty of diets and I lost plenty of weight, but I always gained it back. So clearly willpower wasn't helping me either. And he knows the spiritual experience is absolutely necessary, but he's worried about what people are going to think, you know, that they're going to find out. He's a doctor, and to admit you're an alcoholic, he was worried it was going to kill his practice. I'm assuming that's what they're insinuating here. So he would do anything but admit he was an alcoholic. You know, God forbid, I admit I'm a compulsive overeater, and I didn't want to ever admit that either. I mean, people knew I had a problem with food because when we have a problem with food, we carry it on us. It's we may as well wear a sign, you know. I mean, I was over 200 pounds, so I'm sure people knew I had a problem. And I'm sure people knew Dr. Bob had a problem with alcohol, even though he never at the time admitted he was an alcoholic. I mean, clearly he had issues with it. So even with admitting willpower, even with admitting that willpower wasn't helping me and that I needed a spiritual experience, you know, which I found out in the rooms I needed. And even in the rooms admitting I had an allergy to the body, which was an abnormal reaction to ingesting flour and sugar where I couldn't stop once I started, I'd still go on a binge because until I brought a higher power into my thinking, and that was the key for me, I had to bring this higher power into my thinking. Otherwise, I was going to have those suddenly moments, and I did have suddenly moments where I thought a little bit of flour and sugar wasn't going to hurt me. And, you know, the holidays, well, a little bit on the holidays is okay. I would always forget that the holiday would go on for months and months and months because I wouldn't stop. So I had to fully concede, and I could choose the disease or I could choose the spiritual answer and work these steps. And ultimately, carry this message is what keeps me abstinent and sane. You know, where I no longer fight anything or anybody, but I have to do this work every day. So, you know, during this holiday, I mean, if you celebrate Christmas, I wish you a very Merry Christmas and truly an abstinent one. But bring God into your thinking, bring your higher power into your thinking, because our own thinking will only get us in big trouble. And truly, nothing tastes as good as abstinent feels. And if you're going to a challenging food situation, I know I am. Thank you. Have a plan, because failing to plan is planning to fail. Thanks, Brandy. I pass.
Thank you, Kathleen O. All right, Elaine, you're up next if you can share your last initial and location with us.
This is Elaine from New York.
Good morning, Elaine.
Hi. Anyway, about this paragraph, the way I see it, is that the guy wasn't willing to go to all lengths, you know. And in the past, I was not willing to go to all lengths. I went from one sponsor to another, and whatever they said, I don't like that. But, you know, I got this sponsor now, and I want to work it out. I want to work it out. I see different things, you know, what she's doing. I don't understand, you know. So I finally decided after months and months, not months and months, I should say 5 weeks of talking to her in the text about let's talk. And she agreed. So today we will talk, you know, and I'll see where she's coming from. I feel like it's all about the food. And I want to start working the steps. And all I know is that when I get very upset, like I was in Florida, my mom's dementia is really bad, my son being verbally abusive, I wanted to eat, and amazingly enough, I stayed abstinent with the help of the program, the fellowship, of course, God. And I really want to make this work. You know, like when I was in a marriage and somehow I didn't think I could make it work, and my husband didn't want to make it work, so we got divorced, you know. And but I want to be able to make this work, so I communicated with her about this. I want to go to all lengths to make this work, you know. In the past, I didn't want to go to World Lunch. Now I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. Now I don't like what the sponsor has to do. I just don't know where the sponsor's coming from, you know. All I know is that every time I give him my food in the text, she says liked. Gives him saying liked him, and seems to copy the what I wrote and text it back to me. I don't understand this. And, you know, I want to have a little communication, you know. Down in Florida, it was rough. And, you know, at least I'm here in the meeting to talk about it. And I'm grateful to everybody in the program, of course, God. And I have so many people in the program and from Vision, from you.
Time, please.
Let me just wrap it up to help me. Thanks.
Thank you. All right. Robin P., followed by Honey B. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning. Thanks so much, Brandy, for your service. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Palm Beach, Florida, currently. You know, it's just this willingness to go to any length and the fear of going to any length and, you know, false evidence appearing real, you know, forget everything and run, you know. It's just, and you can argue on behalf of the fear. I've done that so many times. And, you know, I'm so grateful to be abstinent today. And we're going through so much. We came back here. We've been living in Costa Rica for 6 months, and we came back to Florida to be with my mom. And it's been really challenging finding an affordable place to live here. Oh, wow. Just very. it feels very overwhelming. And I just really get to stay in today and trust God and stay in this moment and see what we're meant to do and what's God's will, not what's our self-reliance, but God's reliance and, you know, lean on me, not on your own understanding, you know. And I feel like that's what happened with Dr. Bob. You know, he ends up, of course, doing the right thing and, you know, setting himself free. And my abstinence, I'm coming up on 6 years on Christmas Day, and, you know, it means so much to me. And I treasure it. And today's my husband's birthday, and we're going out to dinner with my mom and for his birthday. And I just get to keep everything super simple right now and just keep tuning into God. It feels like very discombobulating right now. And we don't even know which country we're supposed to live in, but God does. And so I just get to rely on him and just really rely on the program. So God bless everybody with a really blessed, abstinent day and holiday, and Merry Christmas to everybody.
Thank you, Robin P. All right, next up I have Honey B, followed by Barbara P. Good morning, Honey.
Hi, thank you so much for your service, moderator. I'm very grateful. You have a very gentle, sweet, soothing voice, so thank you. I'm Honey B, located in South Florida. And I am recovering one day at a time. I think something so powerful that comes up for me in my understanding and learning in the big book about Dr. Bob was the, you know, the process of his life was that the, like, the miracle and a lot of the promises did not come up for him right away. He dealt with the pain and the terror of really the desire and addiction not being lifted for about 2 years. And for me, that really resonates so much because so often, and I don't mean to be like ruffling feathers, but I feel like there's a lot of pink cloud going on. But so often, a lot of us don't have that experience. And I feel like the experience that Dr. Bob has had, I resonate one day at a time with. There's no day of my life that is just pink cloud, peaches, and cream. There's many miracles. There's a lot of gratitude. But every day, it's a lot. And I appreciate that the story of Dr. Bob is shared and that I have this experience to lean on, that it was hard before recovery and it's hard now. And not that I want to go backwards, but that I am grateful for the honesty and the vulnerability in his story. And I just want to share really quickly that for me, I was really able to kind of gently shift back into program today. Yesterday I had a really busy day. The day before I had a really busy day. I kind of didn't have time, and I gently just encouraged myself, okay, let's, you know, make an outreach call. Let's get on the meeting. And so I think I'm blessed for this gentle voice that's guiding me, and it's truly the voice of my higher power, really guiding me to stay close to my core, to my foundation, but in the most loving, gentle way. So thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Honey Bee. All right, next up we'll have Barbara P., but I'm just going to tell everyone where we're at. We're on page 55. We're on the second paragraph. When our friend related his experience, we read through that one paragraph, and we're sharing on that. So next up we have Barbara P., and following Barbara, we'll take more names. Good morning, Barbara.
Hi. Good morning, everybody. Barbara P. from Atlanta, recovered compulsive overeater. And this really hit me hard this morning, you know, and it is so timely with the holidays, but, you know, it is a hard decision to jump in with 2 feet, to do all of it. It definitely takes me back to, am I willing to go to any lengths? And I think it's a good question he asked himself, like, what if I lose my business? What if these things happen? You know, sometimes with the food, with family, with neighbors, whatever, what if people think I'm different? What if I bring my food? Anyway, there's all kinds of questions that we're always faced with, but I think it comes back to what he really said in the last line of the last paragraph. The man did not fully realize what it meant to be alcoholic. That's the question I have to ask myself today, and that's really my step one question. If I have this thing, which I do, and I accept that this morning, today, then, yeah, I have to go to any lengths. Because I was on with a fellow, we were reading the doctor's opinion this morning, and she gave me such a valuable thought, which was like, it's like playing Russian roulette. Yeah, I can go in and take my chances, and there may seem like good reasons to do that with the food, but I will start this cycle all over again if I do. It's a given. If I accept I really have this, then I'm willing to go to any lengths. If I'm not fully in step one, if I'm not fully accepting that I have this thing, I might decide to play Russian roulette. She mentioned that, you know, that. And that is really, I think, such a powerful visual, because that is, if I believe I have this, then is there any reason sufficient that I should pick up anything? Does any of it make sense? Why would I play that quote-unquote game that is a killer? So I think this starts foundationally for me with, am I fully in step one today? Do I surrender that I have this? It's not changed. I've been abstinent, gosh, sober, and recovered for about 3 years. Nothing's changed. If anything, it's probably progressed. And there's a decision to be made. Am I willing? My only decision is, am I willing to go to any length? And I am for today. I'm so grateful for that. But I have to ask myself that every day, and I certainly will tomorrow morning and Christmas morning and Tuesday morning and every morning. So anyway, it's a good reminder. If I have this, then yeah, I have to be willing to go to any lengths, no matter what anybody thinks, cares. I don't know. It just does not matter in the face of the decision or the alternatives, let me put it that way. And, you know, the alternatives aren't good. Should I pick up? Thanks. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Barbara. All right. So we'll take more names. Who would like to share on that paragraph? Page 155, second paragraph.
Darian K.
Darian.
Leslie M.
Leslie.
Lori P.
Lori P.
Jenny L.
Jenny L.
Karen S.
Karen
S. Tanya G.
Tanya G. All right, anyone else? Okay, so I'll tell you who I have. I have Darian K., I have Leslie M., I have Lori P., Jenny L., Karen S., and Tanya G. All right, good morning, Darian.
Oh, good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Thank you.
Yes. Okay. Good morning. This is Darian Kay from the Berkshires in Massachusetts. Gratefully recovered today. Just for today, as long as I do the same thing I did yesterday. And I, when I read this, I don't know, I get the sense of the uncomfortableness of making a decision to do something. Like, I feel like Dr. Bob's feeling uncomfortable, and also, you know, looking at approval of others, like, why, you know, why do I need to do this? I'm going to, you know, people are going to suffer more, or, you know, or they're going to find out about me, you know, and even though they probably already know. And this whole thing is just going to be super uncomfortable. And even though the drinking for him was, you know, causing troubles, it was still a familiar safe place, which is how I relate to it for myself and the food. You know, even though I was uncomfortable in my body, definitely, but also emotionally and spiritually, it still was familiar to me. And it was still kind of something I knew, you know what I mean? It's like sometimes when I qualify, it's like I'm a frog in a swampy pond, and I know I know it's not the best place to be, but you know, I know where all the slimy rocks are and the lily pads and everything, and I'd rather stay there than jump out into some fresh clean water. So it's, you know, it's just hard. It's hard to change, and it's hard, especially when you know that there's work to be done. And like I said, being uncomfortable in it, because, you know, doing like step 4 and step 9, those aren't comfortable steps at all. but they're very, very important, because we do clear out the stuff that's keeping us down, you know, and keeping us from changing. So I know how important it is. I've been in program a really long time, so it's evident to me. I don't have to convince myself by any means that this is all very, very important. But it still just makes me think of all that discomfort. And, you know, like today I was just talking to, you know, my boyfriend, and he's like a total realist, I'm going to say what I think kind of guy, which is good for me. My husband was never like that. It was like, I agree with you, you agree with me, blah, blah, blah. So it was all like this vanilla neutral stuff. but still, it feels uncomfortable. I don't want to hear
time,
that
please.
Stuff. I just wanna, yep, thank you. I don't want to look at it. But somehow, some way, God put us together, and I think that's why I need to think about things and do things that are uncomfortable. And for today, this is the most comfortable place I feel with all of you. So thank you for being there. I pass.
Thank you. All right, Leslie M., followed by Lori P. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning, Brandy. Thank you for your service. I am Leslie M., a compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. And the part that really spoke to me this morning, it says, a spiritual experience, he conceded, was absolutely necessary, but the price seemed high upon the basis suggested. He would do anything, he said, but that. And I am currently, once again, at my ninth step, making amends. And I had the experience yesterday, you know, where the fear was overwhelming, the fear of, you know, making an approach to someone who I needed to make an amends to. And, you know, but in the end, you know, it's kind of interesting for me, because the fear of doing it was greater than once I had finally done it and made the approach and could let go of it, then the fear dissipated, you know. So I was making a bigger deal of it than I needed to, which is, you know, my nature, you know, I can make a mountain out of any molehill. So I was grateful to see that. But, you know, but I was really afraid to reach out to this person whom I owe an amend to. And, but I did it, you know, because I am willing to go to any lengths. You know, I have gotten to the point where I know that only a spiritual experience is going to, you know, restore me to sanity. And I'm very, very grateful to know that today, and grateful to be, you know, back in this ninth step and doing the work that I need to do, because that's the only way, you know. And I have these uncomfortable feelings, yeah, I have to feel these uncomfortable feelings. And so I'm grateful for that, because he says he would do anything, he said, but that, you know, and that was when I was, you know, in the mindset where my thinking was going to save me. And number two, that, you know, that I knew what was best for me. And, you know, those are the things that I've learned, is that I don't know what's best for me. And my thinking is going to take me back into the food every single time. And so I'm grateful to, you know, be learning this on a day-to-day basis. And to be grateful, you know, to be able to be on this meeting and hear all the shares. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Next up, I have Lori P. followed by Jenny L. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning. This is Lori P. from the Hudson Valley of New York, recovered compulsive overeater. And what a great paragraph this is. I was just like him. I cared a lot about what people thought of me, and specifically when I started weighing and measuring all of my food and weighing all of my food in public and going to restaurants. And what would they think of me? What would they think of me as a professional, as a businesswoman? Would they think less of me? And it really affected my program, and it affected what I thought of myself. Yet I was seemingly hopeless without it. I couldn't put together back-to-back abstinence unless I put my food on a scale. Left to my own devices, I wanted to be abstinent. I wanted to follow a food plan, but I don't know quantity, and I don't know portions. I know volume, and I know grazing. I know how to eat all day. And so if I'm not following a structured food plan and being accountable to a sponsor every single day, then I'm in relapse. And I have been a people pleaser my entire life. So the idea of going to dinner with the CEO of my company and pulling out my scale was just terrifying, until I finally did it. And the truth of the matter is, nobody really cares about my food, and nobody really cares about my scale. It was a 7-second exchange. And the good news is, today, 4 years later, I'm in a healthy body. I've lost 55 pounds. I'm unapologetic about the scale that saved my life, about the program that saves my life. And what I found is that the people who are the most curious about our scale, the people who kind of raise an eyebrow, like, what are you doing? They might have what we have. And I get to carry the message to them. And whatever they do with that message, they do with that message. But God uses me today. Instead of hiding in shame about my scale, I just get to say, this is what keeps me sane. And I couldn't be more grateful, because truly, putting my food on a scale is what has given me all the freedom to live an abundant, beautiful life. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right. Jenny L., followed by Karen S. Good morning, Jenny.
Hi, this is Jenny L. calling from Northern California, compulsive overeater. I just felt compelled to identify with Dr. Bob here. I've been in the program for many years, and I'm in relapse again, and am in a hopeless state of mind right now, but hopeful enough to keep trying, keep showing up. And what I hear from him is that he has knowledge about his disease, that he needs a spiritual awakening, but he hasn't had that spiritual awakening yet. He doesn't have a relationship with a higher power. So he doesn't have, I don't think he's trusting yet in that process. And it just makes me think of the smoke and mirrors that I use to create this you know, to put on this act that is probably not fooling anybody, but that my life is okay and that I'm thriving at my job and thriving in my life. And then these people would come in and ask me to, like, pick up that shell, like a shell game, and reveal what's underneath it and how incredibly scary that is when I don't even know if that's going to work. And so I'm going to reveal that and maybe lose everything that I am holding on to for dear life for something that I don't trust at the moment. And that is how I feel right now. I do feel willing to go to any length, but I'm afraid that it won't work. And, you know, and the conclusion I come to is that I really don't have anything to lose, which is a really good place to be. So that's it. Thanks.
Thank you. All right. Next up, I have Karen S., followed by Tanya G. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning. I'm Karen S. from Massachusetts, compulsive overeater and bulimic, and I'm new to the Vision for You. And I don't know, saying recovered, it just makes me a little nervous because I've had such a history of relapse. But I love the reading, and thank you, everyone. I love the meeting. And I was thinking about what would have happened if Dr. Bob wasn't willing to do, you know, what Bill was asking. Like, where would we be? You know, how fortunate we are. But I could really identify with his just, you know, he agreed. No amount of willpower could keep him stopped. He knew a spiritual experience was necessary, but he still didn't want to do it. Like, he still couldn't surrender. And that's where I've been. I've been in OA for a long time, but I always wanted the easier, softer way. You know, I just didn't want to really believe that I had to do what everybody around me was doing, which was to, you know, let go of the food and really surrender, because I was so afraid to give up the food and that alcoholic food. You know, I just wanted to be able to think that I could, after a period of time, go back and try and dabble in controlled eating and, you know, he talks about that fear of what other people think. And I have grown up with that and, like, lived with that my whole life, that pride, you know, and the really, like, just the insanity of believing that people didn't know your gig. Like, people knew. People knew I had a problem. And I don't know, you know, it's like the knowledge was there and the desperation was there, but the willingness wasn't there. And I've just been praying to be willing. I'm very grateful. I have a few days now of abstinence without my alcoholic foods. And, you know, surprise, surprise, my spiritual connection is there. And the craving is gone. And I am feeling better. So I'm just grateful to be here. I'm grateful for the reading and, you know, just praying for willingness to just stay in this surrender that I have for just for today, because it really is all we have. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Karen S. All right, next up, we have Tanya G. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Brandy. This is Tanya G., grateful compulsive overeater from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And thank you so much for your service and everyone's service to make this meeting possible. I could so relate to this paragraph, and this has been a wonderful chapter to be reading because, you know, I could see how Dr. Bob was doing that. You know, I think about amazing speaker that talks about, you know, he was dying and he had brain damage and liver damage, and he comes to AA and he still wants to do it his way. And that's me. You know, I still want to do it my way, even though after 10 days of binging, my legs are double the size, each one are double the size. And it's the loneliest, you know, that bitter morass of self-pity, you know, it's the loneliest thing to be binging by yourself. And I still want to try it and do it my way. And, but the food had to beat me down. And, you know, even, you know, I've been around this program for a long time and grateful that my sponsor has too, you know, and grateful that I got a new sponsor and that I'm grateful for the binge, you know, that I had in September 11th. And, you know, people, she even told me it's a good thing, you know, because I realized I tried to use my power and Tanya's power and control, and I can't do it. And what was been missing is the higher power. And all of y'all have led me to that. The ones that are recovering, they spend 30 minutes, you know, with God. And yes, I have worried and worried and, oh my God, countless hours worrying about what other people think of me. And I'm just so tired of it. It just brings, you know, tears to my eyes because, you know, this is a deadly disease. And my sponsor, as we read in the big book, she said, these are death threats. You know, I'm going to die. Either I'm going to die by taking myself out or I'm going to die with the food. And I don't want that, you know, and I want to live. And, you know, when I hear all these people talking about, why am I doing this if I don't want to live a happy, joyous, and free life? You know, I heard an amazing speaker last night, and it just gave me so much hope. And I'm in step 9, and I'm scared to death because these are some really hard amends that I haven't done, and that's probably why I picked up. And so, anyway, I'm just so grateful to be live on this meeting today. Nothing happens by accident in God's world. And I just thank everyone. So thank you for allowing me to share. And I pass.
Thank you. All right. And that brings us to our closing. Thank you, everyone who shared and those who participated by listening. We'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Eileen M. please read A Vision for You?
Good morning. This is Eileen M., a recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.